Shavuot. This Mishnah continues to list a couple of more decrees which the Rabbanon made and said that the Shkolim money would be used for certain things, even though according to the strict letter of the law, they are not public needs. Nevertheless, for a variety of reasons, the Rabbanon instituted that the Shkolim money would be spent on these things. Omar Rabbi Shimon said, Shivat Dvorim Hiskinu Beis Din. The Beis Din instituted seven things which are similar to this. V'ze'ech Mehen, and the one we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, is one of the seven. And now the Mishnah goes on to list the other six of these decrees. Nochri Shashilach Elosim Medinas Hayam. A non-Jew who sends a korban oila from abroad, from another country, he sends it with a messenger to be brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. We learned in the first part of the Masechta that a non-Jew is allowed to bring voluntary korbanos. So if he sent this voluntary korban, the shilachim nesachim, and he sent with it money to provide for the nesachim, the wine or the flour and the oil which need to be brought with the korban, he sent with the korban the money to provide for the nesachim. So in that case, krevim mishaloi, of course the nesachim are offered up using nesachim which are brought with that money. But if he doesn't send money to buy nesachim with that animal, so we don't say that, alright, we're not going to bring the korban, that might lead to a certain animosity or hatred from the non-Jews. Rather, Krevim Mishal Tzibur, the Nesachim for this animal are bought using the money of the Shkolim, which came from the public. That is the second decree out of the seven. Third decree, one who converted to become Jewish and then died after having designated certain animals to be brought as korbanos. Now the halacha is that when somebody converts to become Jewish, Gershon Isgayer ko koton shenola domi. When somebody converts, it's as if he is born again, and he's not related to any of his non-Jewish relatives. So unless he gets married, and then has children after that, if he dies having converted and not having had any children, then he has no relatives, halachically. Which means that when he dies, all of his property is not inherited by anybody, rather it becomes ownerless. So if he has nesachim already, which he separated, or at least he has money, which then became ownerless, but he had money, then krevim mishaloi, the nesachim are brought using that money, or using the nesachim which he separated. V'im lav. But if he didn't separate any nesachim while he was still alive, and the truth is, according to many, even if he does have money, if he didn't separate that money aside in order to buy nesachim, then since when he dies, all of his property becomes ownerless, technically anybody has the right to just take that property, and it will become his. So even in that case, Krevim Mishal Tzibur, the Nesachim of the Korban, which he designated, would be bought from the public, from the Shkolim which had been designated, and contributed to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, number four. There is an obligation on the Kohen Gadol every single day to bring a Korban known as the Minchas Chavitin. This was a flour offering mixed with oil, and he would make this in the morning, but then he would only offer on the Mizbeach half of it in the morning, and then the second half he would wait and offer that up in the afternoon. The following decree concerns a Kohen Gadol who died after having bought the first half, after having bought it in the morning, but not having yet bought the second half. Now it's an obligation that the Minchas Chavitin be bought every single day, so the second half needs to be bought. However, the halacha is that since it won't be bought by the same person, it has to be made again, the full amount, and then it has to be halved, and half of it would be bought in the afternoon. So you'd end up with the second half of the previous Minchas Chavitin, and also half of the new Minchas Chavitin not having been offered, and then they would be burnt once they become invalidated after having been left. Now it is learnt from Sukkah in the Torah that in such situation, the afternoon part of the Minchas Chavitin needs to come from the community's money. So from the money which comes from the Shkolim. However, it came to the point that so many things were being used by the Shkolim money that the money started to diminish. There wasn't necessarily enough money of the community in the Beis HaMikdash. And so the Rabbanon instituted that those who inherit the Kohen Gadol, for example his sons, they would need to provide for the Minchas Chavitin on that afternoon. Now, after they instituted this, they saw that it didn't always happen. Once they left the responsibility to the inheritors of the Kohen Gadol, they didn't always make sure they did it quickly enough on that day to make sure that there was a Minchas Chavitin bought in the afternoon. And so because of that, the Rabbanon took away their decree, and the law returned to be like what it was mid-Oraisa, that the Minchas Chavitin that afternoon comes from the community's funds. So the Mishnah calls this a decree mid-Rabbanon, even though, as we explained, this is really the letter of the law according to the Torah. But since the Rabbanon instituted something, and then instituted to take that away, so the Mishnah says, "Usnai Beis Din hu," it was a condition the Beis Din instituted al Kohen Gadol Shemis, regarding a Kohen Gadol who dies, Shetehemen Chosar Krevim Mishal Tzibur, that his Minchas Chavitin in the afternoon would be bought from the money of the public, which came from the Shkolim, As we explained, now Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, a totally different opinion to the first opinion. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Midoraisa, Mishal Yorushin, the Minchas Chavitin has to come from the inheritors of the Kohen Gadol, that is Midoraisa. He also learns this out of a Pasuk. And furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbanon never instituted anything. And so this is exactly what would need to be done. The inheritors would need to bring that Minchas Chavitin, and it wouldn't come from the Shkolim Mani. And ends off the Mishnah, as we explained, was Shleima Hoysa Kreva. It was offered as a full Minchas Chavitin, meaning they wouldn't use the second half of the original Kohen Gadol's Minchas Chavitin. Rather, they would separate and make up a whole new Minchas Chavitin with the flour mixed with the oil, and then offer half of that, and the other half, together with the second half of the original Kohen Gadol's Minchas Chavitin, would become invalid and not be offered. Mishnah Zayin, the fifth thing which the Chacham instituted is less related to what was done with the Shkolim money, but it is still related to the Beis HaMikdash and benefiting from Beis HaMikdash money, and that is Al HaMelech Val HaEitzim, concerning the salt which was put on all of the karbonis before they were offered up, Val HaEitzim, and the wood which was used for the fire on the Mizbeach. Even though when it comes to everything else which is designated to the Beis HaMikdash, it's forbidden to use that for a non-Beis HaMikdash use, that is known as Me'ila, if you use something which is hekdesh for your own personal use. So over here we have an exception that the Rabbanon instituted, that Kohanim would be able to benefit from the salt and the wood on the Mizbeach, specifically when cooking korbanos for them to eat, even though that's for their own benefit. Nevertheless, so that they will actually eat the korbanos, the Rabbanon instituted that they will be able to use the salt which was designated to the Beis HaMikdash, and the wood as well on the Mizbeach, to cook the korbanos which they would eat. Alright, number 6, Valapara, concerning the Pora Aduma, which was burnt into ashes and added to water with a few different other things, and this solution was used to purify people who had become Tomei from a dead body. And even though the Pora Aduma is not actually a korban, nevertheless, as we have seen earlier on in the Masechta, the Torah refers to the Pora Aduma by calling it Chatoshi. It calls it Tachatos, which is a name for a korban, as we learn from there that it shares certain laws with korbanos. For example, Me'ilah applies to the Pora Aduma as well, that it's forbidden to benefit from it at all, just like it's forbidden to benefit from korbanos. However, it is learnt from that same Pasuk that the ashes of the Pora Aduma you can benefit from Midoraisa. The cow itself, before it is made into a whole solution, it's forbidden to benefit from. But the Torah goes out of its way to say that Chatos he, it is considered like a korban Chatos, but its ashes and the solution which was made from it is not considered like a korban. And so Midoraisa, there would not be any Me'ilah for the ashes of the Pora Aduma. However, the Rabbanon decreed, when they saw that people started using the ashes for anything, not really respecting it so much, so they decreed that there would be Me'ilah on the ashes of the Pora Aduma. However, once they decreed this, and they prohibited the benefit from the ashes, there were certain people who didn't know if they were definitely Tomei from a dead body. Rather, they had a doubt whether they had become Tomei from a dead body. Now, in general, in such a situation, they would need to purify themselves out of doubt. However, because the Rabbanon prohibited using the ashes for anything other than what they are meant for, so these people who were in a state of doubt, they didn't go and get themselves purified using these ashes. But they needed to because they had a doubt whether they were Tomei from a dead body, an extremely severe level of Tumah. And therefore, the Rabbanon took away that decree which they had made, and reverted back to saying, Shelo Yehu Me'alin Be'efra, the Me'ilah would not apply to the ashes of the Pora Aduma, as was the original Din Midoraisa. Okay, and finally, the seventh thing which the Rabbanon instituted, Valakin Habsulais, regarding bird offerings which became invalidated. We've seen already that if somebody needs to bring a korban of birds, then all he needs to do is put money in the box of the kinin, and then they would bring that korban. After you having paid for that, they would take the money and buy the birds, and the Kohanim would take care of bringing that korban. Now, they wouldn't know who gave the korban. It would be valid, but they wouldn't know who they were slaughtering it for, and who they were offering it up for. But if so, what would happen if it became invalidated? If, let's say, the blood was sprinkled on the wrong part of the Mizbeach, or one of the birds flew away, what would they do? This person's left now, they don't know who gave the money for these birds, but this person needs an atonement. So the Rabbanon instituted to Bois Mishal Tzibur that they would come from the Tzibur's money, the money from the Shkolim, which the public had donated. However, Rabbi Yossi argues on this last point. Rabbi Yossi says, just like we found earlier on in Perek Dalad, that the people who supply wine and oil to the Beis HaMikdash and flour, if the flour goes bad, then they need to replace it, because Yad Hekdash Al HaYonah, Hekdash, the Beis HaMikdash, always had the upper hand. So too over here. And therefore, in a case where the birds become invalid, hamisapik hasakinin, the supplier of the birds, the one who gives the birds to the Beis Hamikdash and the Beis Hamikdash buys it from them, mesapik hasapsulos, he needs to supply and replace the invalidated ones, again because of the rule of Yad Hekdash al-Halyona, that the Beis Hamikdash always has the upper hand.